had a lot of conversations during the week, several. I mean, good conversations. And many of them revolved around church. Church in general, church at large, and church particular, you know, church here. And they were really good conversations. And one of the things that I wanted to, I just felt impressed after this week, because I was thinking a lot about the conversations during the week. I was thinking about the conversations over the weekend. And as I was praying last night, I just felt that it's something that we need to talk about. And that's why church? Why? Why church? Like, why? What is it and why? And what do you think of when you think of church? You hear the word church. Does your mind quickly go to a building? A lot of times it is. Building, church, building, boom. Does it come to Sunday morning? Church, Sunday morning, you know, sitting in a pew or a seat and, you know, hearing music and worshiping and hearing a message. And yeah, that's church, you know, church. Does it come to that a building? Does it come Sunday morning? Does it come maybe a Bible study, you know, midweek, you know? What do you think of when you think of church? My guess is whatever your thoughts are regarding that, it's probably not the totality of what God has called church to be. And I'll say that, I think, safely in many years of being a Christian myself, but as a pastor and teaching the Word of God and preaching the Word of God and talking and having those conversations, I think sometimes we forget what church really is. Now, we can go to a very famous and well-known verse, which we will go to in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, just for a moment. And if you will, this can maybe be considered the purpose statement, if you will, for the church, the purpose. This is the early church right at the beginning, right out of the gate, Pentecost moving forward, you know, fresh, new, filled with the Holy Spirit, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Four things: teaching biblical doctrine, providing a place or a vehicle, if you will, for fellowship of the believers to come together, to break bread, which they did in the way of also eating meals together, but having the Lord's Supper together, and praying. We need those things. And there's some more. This is not the only thing that the church is for, but this is, you know, some of the core things. To teach the Word of God, it's important. We need to be instructed. You know, when we did our series on Ephesians a few months back, one of the things we learned about is that we need to be grounded in the Word of God, we need to be taught the Word of God, and we need to teach others the Word of God, we need to be in the Word of God, so that we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth or to and fro by the waves, to be blown here and there by every little teaching that kind of comes down the pike. Any words that people will begin to throw our way with cunning craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. We need to be grounded in the Word of God so we're not caught up with all the false doctrines that are out there that are very, very, very enticing. They sound good. They tickle ears. They sell a lot of books. Make a lot of videos, make a lot of money, but they're not the Word of God. They may have a little bit of the Word of God sprinkled in, but they're not. We need to be grounded so we know and we can be aware of those things. We need to come together. We need fellowship. It is not good for man to be alone from the beginning. He put them in the garden. He didn't just leave Adam and a bunch of animals. He made them name the animals because he realized, so Adam would realize, God knew this, Adam would realize, wait, there's none fitting for me. They're nice. Pets are good. I know you got a lot of you have pets. They're great. They're wonderful. But they do not replace human relationship, human fellowship. We as Christians need one another. We should be devoted to one another, to honor one another. These are all scriptural things that I'm giving you. I will leave an outline of this up online after we're finished. Well, maybe by tomorrow it'll be up online that you guys can look at all these different scriptures that I'm not going to read, but I'm referencing here. You know, we're to devote and encourage and honor one another. We're to instruct one another. We're to be kind and compassionate to one another, to encourage one another, to love one another. You notice what all those say? One another. You can't do that in isolation. You can't do that alone. We need to be together. God designed it that way, to be in community. And as Christians, we need to come together as a Christian community. We come together for those purposes, and we come together to share the Lord's Supper together. It's very important. Here we do it, you know, monthly. In Philadelphia, we do it about a half a dozen times a year. It's not on a set basis. We do it, several times a year, sprinkled in during the year. We need to come together to remember what Jesus did for us, the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, to do those things and to remember it until he comes, the Bible says. And the Bible says also that we are to be a people of prayer. We come together to pray. Paul said that he desired in 1 Timothy 2, he said, I desire men and women, but men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, and without doubting. Lifting up hands in prayer everywhere. We need to pray. We need to remember that regardless of our circumstances, no matter how life is going, good for us or maybe not so good for us, we always are in this place that we have to understand that we're not to be anxious about anything, because anxiety will come. But the only way not to be anxious about anything is to give everything and every situation in prayer to God with our petitions, with thanksgiving. You make our requests known to God so that the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding can guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Individual prayer, but corporate prayer, and in our individual praying time, praying for one another. Four things that the early church was about. We know what else they were about because Jesus commissioned them before that. He said, go out and tell everybody. Make disciples. You have a job to do. It's good to come together. And it's good to have fellowship, and it's good to worship and pray together and to celebrate the Lord's Supper together and have a fellowship meal together. That's all great, but you got to go out, and you got to let people know. We are to be the church, a lighthouse to the world around us, to the community, pointing people towards the truth, which is Jesus Christ and his love for us and his work on the cross to buy and purchase our salvation. And in doing so, as we go out into this world, bringing the message of the gospel, looking to make disciples when they come to faith in Christ, we also are going to encounter people that are broken and hurting in so many different ways. And James tells us that, the term religion here in the King James or in our Bibles, the religion, is not religion in the sense of what I know that I despise, a man-made religion. He's talking about your true faith, true religion, the real devotion or faith in Christ when you're born again. That religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself polluted from the world. To go out and we're going to encounter hurts and we're going to encounter needs. And God has supplied all those things to us in the way to minister to other people, not just to take what we've been blessed with and hoard it to ourselves, but we take both the spiritual blessing and the physical blessings and we pass it on to others in need. And in that way, we can carry on the work that Jesus did while he was on the earth. So the church has to be his hands and his feet extended into this world. And when we come together into what we always say is church, that's what we think of, church. We come together, again, some of us might think Sunday morning only or maybe Sunday and maybe a midweek. But when we come together, which we should, which is good, the main purpose of that as we worship and praise our Lord and pray is to be equipped. That's why we come together. To be equipped. Ephesians 4 says, he gave to the church. Jesus gave to the church some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? So that they can have a job to do? No, for the equipping of the saints. For what? To be equipped so that we can say, oh, look how much we've learned. Look how much we know. Well, that's all good to do that. But we are equipped for the working of the ministry. What ministry? Every Christian has a ministry, and I'll probably say you have ministries, plural. And it may not be something specifically sanctioned by the church body, if per se, but it is a ministry that we all carry. We have a ministry back in our homes, a ministry when we go to work, a ministry when we go, you know, in our neighborhoods and deal with people. We have ministries and opportunities all the time. So we come together so that the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers can be equipped for the working of the ministry, for the edifying also of the body of Christ. How long till I graduate? When do I graduate? You know, we went to school, and some of us went, you know, to high school. Some of us went to college. Some of us went to, you know, get, you know, masters and maybe doctorates and different things, and that's great. And you say, well, I finally graduated. I got there. Well, guess what? We don't graduate till we get to heaven. Because he says we do this till we become perfect men. It's not going to happen here, perfect men and women. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means until we leave this world, until we are with Jesus, we continue to need to be equipped and encouraged for the work that's set before us. How does that happen? A lot of ways. You know, I think about, and I thought a lot about, the churches in Philadelphia and here. And I think about, you know, my role to come and show up on a Sunday for about an hour or so and just speak. If that's all I did, that would be great and nice. No. There's a whole work that goes on here for the equipping of the church. Yes, I have an opportunity to preach and maybe teach on Sunday mornings. You know, I teach other Bible studies in Philadelphia, you know. But wait a minute. But we have Robert teaching Bible study in midweek. We have Jim that's equipping people to getting together to learn what to do. We have Martin that is doing his work and Maria and back in their home and having believers come together to do things that are equipping themselves. We have other opportunities of times together where we are being taught the Word of God, and not only taught it, but how to apply it. What does it look like? What does it mean to come and have a slice of pizza and to learn the fact that, wait, I heard this before, that we're supposed to go into all the world, but how do we go into the community right here? What does that look like? See, that's being equipped. You know, what does it look like to come together and on Wednesday night, as we go through a book of the Bible, to be able to say and to go up to Robert afterwards and say, "Hey, Rob, thanks. I appreciate that teaching. But what does that look like for me today? can you help me to learn how to apply it into my life today? You know, to catch Martin or Jim or Rob or Joe Peely or to myself and say, hey, can you help me out? I'm struggling a little bit, not with the information. I got the information, but how do I live it? And, you know, that's what we've been doing and are attempting to do. And I believe that we're doing a job with that, and that is the job of equipping us to do what? To say, oh, I learned something today. Well, yeah, I hope you do, but I want you to say, I've been equipped, so I feel that I am more than ready to go out and to do the work that Jesus has left me here to do. And it's going to look very different in every one of our lives. But don't make the mistake of thinking that when we come together, we just sing a few songs, pray a few prayers, listen to a message, and that's the end of it. No, that's all equipping. You know, worship together is a part of the equipping process. Praying together is part of the, prayer is so precious, especially corporate prayer. You know, I have learned more about our Father in heaven and my brothers and sisters in Christ when we've had corporate prayer together. You really hear where people's hearts are. You really begin to hear what's the things that drive them and their love for the Lord and their desire to see people know Christ. You really hear that. You hear the passions, the things that the Lord has really laid a burden on their heart. Maybe it's for children, or maybe it's for the elderly, or maybe it's for, you know, those that are bound up in a certain lifestyle. You hear that in the prayer time together. That church is equipping. but it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen as we stay home, as we forsake, you know, the assembly. We need to come together. And we have that opportunity here. God has blessed us with those that he's put in our midst to equip us. And I say us because all of us, you know, when we have like our times together, when I'm teaching a Bible study, I love, because I love to do interactive Bible studies. I don't like to just do a lecture. You know, I would like to sit down. We open the scripture. I begin to you know, unfold the word of God, and questions, comments. And sometimes they can be crazy comments and questions. And you have to be able, by God's grace, to work and maneuver through that. But you know what? I sit there and I'm amazed at how much I learn. Not just the text, but I learn about people, where they are, their insights to a scripture that I go, wow, that's profound. I have heard some of the most profound commentaries, if you will, on scripture from those that were in Bible study that were supposed to be there learning, and they were, but they speak forth, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak forth something that I just sit there amazed and go, wow, that is good. And then I use it for next Sunday's message. I put it down. No, because we do, we equip one another. But it has to happen in that community fashion. See, the mission, if you will, the great commission of the church, go and make disciples. Yeah, we got to do that. But as someone told me recently, so many times in a church, and I'm not saying this happens here, I don't believe it does, and it hasn't been my experience in ministry that I'm aware of, but I know it happens in a lot of places. Intentionally, but most often unintentionally, we go out and we want to make people disciples either unto ourselves or to our church or to the pastor that's there. We're not called to make disciples to ourselves. We're not called to make disciples to our local church or denomination or to the pastor or to the teacher. We're not called to make disciples to them. We're called to make disciples to who? Jesus. See, sometimes we get so infatuated with the personality, the human personalities, that we forget that, no, we're to bring people to Jesus. When I preach, I don't want anybody to see me. I know it's impossible because we, you know, we interact this way. I want, one of the greatest compliments that I've ever had from someone that shared with me after service one time, this goes back several years ago, this woman came up to church afterwards. She said, Pastor Joe, can I say something to you? I said, sure. She said, can I tell you something? I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to flatter you, but I really wanted to let you know. She said, when you preach, I don't see you. And I said, okay. And I kind of knew where she was going. And she said, I don't mean that in offense. I said, I'm not taking it in offense. She goes, I see Jesus. And I went, thank you. I said, let's praise God together for that. See, the idea is that we want to bring people and we want to point them to Jesus. He is the one that we want to make them disciples to. He is the one that we want them to be attached to. That's what a disciple means, a disciplined follower of someone. And if you're going to be a disciplined follower of me, you're going to run into trouble. Now, I want to be a good example. In fact, that's how I've based my whole ministry. I want to be a good example to the church. But if you're going to follow me, there are times that not I won't want to, but I might lead you into a ditch. You know? Because if you follow a person, they're always going to let you down somewhere. They're always going to make, no person is perfect, but Jesus is. And our beautiful, wonderful commission is to go and make disciples to Jesus Christ, but we do that as we get equipped together. It's a joyful mission to put Jesus on display. That's why we should learn that evangelism shouldn't be about, oh, I'm nervous about it because of maybe people might reject me. Well, guess what? No. If they reject you, they're rejecting Jesus. We're putting him on display, not ourselves. Mourn for them. If you have any hesitation about sharing, you know, it only should be, Lord, let me represent you well. And then it should be, Lord, I pray that as I represent you well, that they would come to know you and to follow you. You know, part of the mission of the church, again, as we said, to glorify God. You know, we were chosen, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, we are chosen that we might be a praise and glory unto his name, to exalt Jesus individually, but Jesus called us to come together so that we can love on one another and then go out to the world with that love on display. And you know why he said that we should to do that? That the world may know that we are his and that he sent us into the world. That's it. When we show love one for another, you're not always going to like one another. Embrace that. Don't inflame it. You know what I mean? Don't provoke each other to get real. No, listen, embrace the fact that we're not always going to agree or get along. That happens sometimes in a body like this, a family. But above all things, in spite of that, our love for one another should grow. And you will grow. But when you say to the annoying brother or sister, who that means you are also, because somebody finds you annoying brother or sister, for whatever reason, you say, Lord, help me to love them as you love them. Help me not to be a stumbling block unto them. But again, all this has to happen as we come together. And when we do that, when we show love one for another, in spite of our differences, in spite of those differences, the world's going to know and see something. There's one thing, you know, the enemy can duplicate a lot of things. You know, he cannot, in my opinion, and I think the Bible bears me out on this, he cannot duplicate the love of God in any way, shape, or form. When we love one another, when we love God and love one another, the world sees. I can tell you, if I had the time this morning, I can tell you of so many times that I have seen firsthand testimony of people coming to faith in Christ just because they witnessed true love between Christians. And that's what brought them to Christ. But we have to do that together. We can't love one another separately. See, to come together, to build up one another. I didn't make this up, this part here I'm going to read. But the mission of the church is to know and to love God so supremely as to represent him and his values accurately and vividly to the world and to serve people's deepest needs in the way Christ himself would meet them. When Jesus did everything he did, even when he was using some of his sharpest words of rebuke to the Pharisees, they were all surpassing thing, I should say, of all of those things that was behind it, the motivation behind all those, even his sharpest rebukes, was love. His correction was love. His healings were love. His teachings were love. It was all love. And when we go out to this world as we come to be equipped and we go into situations that are thick, sticky, and thorny, if our desire is to love God and to love other people, it's amazing what God will do through his church. But we need one another to do this. Someone else once said, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son, meaning not the S-O-N, the S-U-N, in other words, about which the whole mission of the church revolves. Public worship is the encounter of the risen Redeemer with his people. See, when we come together, that should be the encounter of what he's doing and what he desires to do. What good is it if we just come together, sit in our pews, hear a message, just go home and never interact with one another? Never take the time to shake hands and to hug, to embrace, to encourage. How do you feel and how are you doing? Is there any way I could help you? What do you think of the message today? How do you think that applies to your life? All these different things. See, church, again, should not just be Sunday morning. Church should be Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night. It should be Monday when you do maybe your own personal time and devotion to be thinking of the body and praying for the body. Maybe the Holy Spirit will drop on your heart, I need to call such and such. I don't know why, but I think I need to give them a call. I'm praying for them. The Lord really has them on my heart. And then you call them, and then all of a sudden, two of you are having church. As you talk, as you share, as you encourage and love one another. And then Tuesday comes, and maybe you go to service. You know, maybe there's a Bible study, or Wednesday, and you meet people there, and then you leave from that place, and then Thursday comes again, and you say, you know, I just feel I need to go, because the Holy Spirit's had on my heart to go here, to visit someone who's not a believer, or to go somewhere and to share something with somebody, or to give something to somebody, whatever it might be. That's church. That's the outworking of what's been worked into us. evangelism, calling people to Jesus. You know, living a Christian life to this world around us is proclaiming his lordship over us, and it's something unique that the world has to see. We can't live like undercover Christians. We have to live uniquely as Christians to the world around us. You know, discipling and encouraging one another, ministering to one another, all these things happen in the church community. It's happening here. I think we don't realize how much it's happening sometimes. I think that we recognize sometimes, or we don't recognize many times, what's happening in the midst. Sometimes, you know, they'll say you can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes that happens. See, sometimes I think we forget that, you know, we were a little disappointed this year that there were less kids at the VBS than last year. I was disappointed. I wanted to see many more. But I also know that I've heard from some of them that I talked to that they were learning. They had questions that were good questions. They were engaged with the songs. They were engaged with the lessons, even the games and the crafts that pointed to Jesus. They were very engaged with the play and the skits. They were very engaged. We sometimes see that the week is over. Okay, it's all done. We don't know what that child takes home to mom, to dad. We don't know those moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and aunts and uncles and cousins that came on Friday night, what they saw. I know somebody, because I heard the conversation, say, you know what, I need to get a Bible. I need to learn more. That was an adult who came. We don't see these things all the time. We don't see what happens when a seed is planted and when it goes underground. We don't see it. We get frustrated. Where is the growth? You know, where is the fruit? It sometimes takes a long time to germinate. So what do? We get frustrated and we stop watering it, or we stop cultivating it. We stop nurturing it. Some people say, by the way, I'm not a plant person. I told you this before. I got brown thumbs, not green thumbs. But so don't take plant advice from me. But I do know enough to say that some people even say, if you talk to your plants nicely, they grow better. I don't know if that's true or not, but people say it. But we just say, oh, where is the growth? Where is it? Ah, and we neglect it. It's not going to happen. We get frustrated. I don't even want to bother going to church anymore. Not never happens there. No. It takes time. Sometimes before you plant a seed, you got to break up a lot of ground. And I've been through this a lot of time over the years in ministry. Sometimes in somebody's life, the seeds just keep bouncing off rocky soil. It takes a while for the plowing and the breaking up of the hardness so the seed could finally go in and be planted. Church, don't be weary in well-doing, but be doing well and continue to come together so we have the strength to endure. It's patience ministry. It's patient endurance, not idle standing by. No, it's patient endurance, working together, loving together, doing the things. You know, some pastor once said, when you don't know what to do, go back to do what you know to do. Go back to those things we know to do. When we don't think things are going, then go back to prayer. You should never be stopping anyway. Go back to the scriptures again. Go back to the word of God. Go back to saying, Father, you promised in your word. I don't understand what's going on in church, but I do know this. You promised to give us wisdom if we ask and not doubt. I don't see anything happening, but Lord, I'm asking. Just show me, give me opportunity to see my role, the pastor's role, the other roles in the church, all the teachers, all the equippers that you have in our church that you've blessed us with. Lord, how can I help them? How can I bless them? How can I take what I've learned and go out to, you know, the ministries that are going on? How can I come to the block party and just share Christ? Even if I just pass out some information about the church, or just stand back and just pray for the people as they come in to get ice cream and say, Lord, how can we as a church connect with them? So many ways. Don't get weary, but keep doing well. So we need to go back to our scriptures. We close up. They came together. You know, the Bible says in Acts 2 that they were daily meeting first in the temple. They didn't have a church like a location, a building. The temple was the central thing in Jerusalem. They went to the temple, and they got in a lot of trouble there because they were doing the work, but they went there. And then they went to each other's homes. They didn't have a building. They went house to house. And they broke bread. They listened to the apostles' doctrine. And you know what? You know when they all learned really well? When Peter spoke. Not so much as when, you know, James spoke. No, no, no. See, that's the Paul addressed that. Oh, I'm of Apollos. I'm of this. No, no. They came and they learned from the apostles, plural. Sure, did they have maybe their little favorites? Like, oh, I like the way he shares that. Yeah, maybe. But guess what? Every time somebody gets up to speak, I pray, Lord, use them to bless me, to teach me, to bless your church, your congregation, to equip us well so that we can leave this place encouraged to do the work that we're called together to do. So even in the earliest part of the church, they were writing in Hebrews to the church who was starting to forsake the assembly together. It happened then. It happens today. Do I get frustrated when I hear that amongst those who proclaim to be born again or evangelical or whatever you want to call phrase in their faith, that on a given Sunday only about 30% attend church of those who proclaim Christ? And do I get frustrated at that? Yeah, I get sad. I get, Lord, what are we doing as a church? Do I get even more upset when I hear that as a nation, right? A nation that was formed on biblical principles, a nation that even though it was never a fully one nation under God, at least it was formed on godly principles, and there was a thought of God in the community. And even if many people, maybe even the majority, were cultural Christians, at least they would go to church. Do I get upset today? When I say upset, do I get hurt today? Do I get sad today? Do I get disillusioned today? When I hear that on a given Sunday, only 6% of this country is in church on a Sunday? 6%. Listen, you go back. Some of you go back a few years. You know a lot of your friends. Even if they weren't Christians, they went to church on a somewhat regular basis. Even if they were just Christian in religion only or culture or whatever it happened to be. You know, the Bible Belt, they all went to church, you know, whatever. Even if they weren't saved, they went to church. Not anymore. 6% is the number, that sobering number. Let us not be of those people, Hebrews 10:25, that forsake the assembly together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And even more so as we see his day approaching. The Bible says as we get closer to the return of Jesus, the church is going to have a real, real tendency towards sleepiness and lukewarmness. Our responsibility is to say to one another, wake up! I know that bath is nice and warm and you want to drift off to sleep, but listen, I'm going to pour a little cold water in this bath. I'm going to put a little hot water in this bath, so now you got to jump out and get going again. Do it in love. Provoke one another, not with those words that turn it. Provoke one another to love and to good works as we see his day approaching, church, because if not, we will all drift to sleep. Every one of us. So, does church attendance get you into heaven? No. Is it even really required from that standpoint? No. But if you're his child, first of all, beside knowing how important, as I hopefully I shared today, that we should be in church and all the things it does for us to come to your local church and to be together, the thing that we know about it, see, if we know that church is important, one part of us should say, well, then I want to make an effort to be there. But I desire more than that in myself and in all of us and in all those who we don't see on a regular basis. And I'm not pointing fingers, by the way. You know, people on vacation, travel, work schedule, I understand all that. But here's the one thing. That's why I go above more than just saying, I know I should and I got to start doing it. I go to this. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait till Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, whatever time the church. I can't wait to go to church and then go have church again with the seniors in Brookdale or on Tuesday at Elmwood Hills. Thursday on Elmwood Hills. I can't wait to come out. Rob's starting a new study. But even more than that, I can't wait till I can't wait to go home and pray for my brothers and sisters. I can't wait that as the Lord's going to drop somebody on my heart so that I can not only be praying for them, but I can call them up and encourage them in love and maybe meet with them and have church together in our times. Or maybe you share devotion time with people. You could do that over the phone. There's so many ways to connect today. But you can't wait because you look at church as being every day and every part of your existence, and you cannot wait to be part of it. And you cannot stand when you're away from it for whatever reason for any period of time. So Peter says, we're all part of a house that God is building. Each one of us is a lively stone. If all the stones aren't in place doing what they're called to do, if all the parts of the body aren't in place doing what they're supposed to do, the house will fall, the body will fail. Come together. But more than that, ask the Lord to quicken in your heart. The Lord, give me a love for your church that I can't wait every day to be in church. And from that, be equipped to go out and win others to come to be part of this wonderful body of Christ we call the church. Father, thank you for this reminder from your word. Father, I pray that everyone, my desire, Lord, my heart today is that we would fall in love with you more and more each day. And from that, fall in love for one another, the church, your body. And that we would take this so seriously that we would recognize that each and every one of us has a role, a responsibility. We all come together to be equipped, but then we all come to be equipped to do the work of the ministry that you've called us into. Father, each one of us is part of the house. Each one of us is a part of the body. Each one of us has an opportunity and a privilege, Lord, to function in whatever that capacity is so that the body can function well, that the house will stand on the solid ground that which is you. Help us, Lord, to encourage one another, to meet together regularly, to pray together, to worship together, to serve together, to love one another as we look forward to your return. Father, let this word burn in our hearts today. Let it be as the disciples on the Emmaus Road when they saw you, that their hearts burned within them so much they could not wait to get back to the church to share what they had heard. Let our hearts burn within us so much today that we cannot wait till the times that we can come together, that it's never a chore, but always a joy. Father, do that work amongst us in Jesus' name.